Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Now, we got something very special today. Ben and Aubrey Painter are going to be coming up here, and Aubrey's going to be sharing a very special testimony.
Hello, my name is Aubrey Painter, and this is my husband, Ben. We wanted to speak to you all on this Sunday specifically because it is about celebrating the beauty and sacredness of life, and because God called his creation very good, the beauty and sanctity of life became inherent. These truths have proven critical for our family in the last month. In early November, Ben and I discovered that we are expecting our fourth child. Though not our first time, the feelings of joy, excitement, and anticipation still rose as they always had before. However, those feelings of joy and happiness were soon overwhelmed by fear and unknowns. On December 11th, our baby was diagnosed with a severe developmental flaw. The official diagnosis we were told was anencephaly, which stems from a neural tube defect and ultimately inhibits the development of the skull. At this appointment, we were also told such a diagnosis meant that, outside of the womb, our baby was incompatible with life. In a matter of moments, our lives were changed forever, and we were left to wait and to wonder why this was happening at all, why it was happening to us, and how we would get through it. To put it simply, we were devastated. When it comes to possible responses to our diagnosis, medically, there are two. One, carry the pregnancy to term, or two, terminate early. There are few physical risks to a mother who chooses to continue a pregnancy with this diagnosis. I didn't know if I could do that. How could I carry this baby all these months, knowing what will come when we go to the hospital for delivery? How could I meet my baby for the first time and also say goodbye on the same day? How could I leave the hospital with empty arms? It felt impossible, and I truly didn't think I could do it. I asked Ben what he thought about terminating early. I asked him because I was terrified. I was convinced that I was not even close to being strong enough to handle the next 6 months and to handle saying goodbye to my baby. With tears in his eyes, but with absolute assuredness, he told me that we were having this baby. He told me that this baby was God's gift to us. He reminded me that I didn't have to do it on my own. And he reminded me of scripture, which tells us that God knows us, weaves us, and sets us apart in the womb. Ben was right, and he showed his love for me because he spoke God's truth to me in my moment of weakness. God creates our innermost being. He knits us in our mother's womb. His eyes see our unformed body. Our days are ordained and written in his book. God knows us, loves us, and sanctifies us before we are born. I want to go back to something that I said earlier that I haven't been able to forget since we left the doctor's office with this diagnosis. Our baby, we were told, is incompatible with life. Incompatible means that two entities cannot exist in unison or harmony. So based on this definition and on the severity of our diagnosis, our baby can never truly live in the way that science, medicine, or the world defines it. Our baby's life, according to our diagnosis and to medicine, will be limited in basically all ways. While the words may come through tears and in between sobs, I say with absolute and complete conviction that this is not true, because God knows, God loves, and God knit this baby in my womb, which means that this baby has been created in his image and is sanctified. This precious child has value, worth, and meaning, and the length of time spent on earth has nothing to do with these truths. Whether a child is born sleeping, lives 2 minutes, or 2 hours, nothing created by God is incompatible with life. Nothing created by God is meaningless because it fails to meet what the world calls living. There is nothing limiting about being created in the image of the Almighty. We would like to take this moment to share that our sweet baby is a girl. For those of you who don't know us, all our children's names start with E. Of course, this will continue. We have decided to name our daughter Ember, for she has certainly sparked in us feelings of intense love. At our appointment on December 11th, the doctor said something profound. It is funny how God shows up in our everyday lives if our ears are open. In between the medical jargon and her answering our questions, she told us that Ember was about to teach us more about love, humility, and sacrifice than anything we had ever experienced. To say that this has been and will continue to be true is an understatement. However, it has taught us and reminded us of something else that is even more important too. It has reminded us that God chose this path for his own beloved. God loved us so much that he humbled himself to become a man and sacrificed his own son so that we may live, so that we could be sanctified, so that we could be made whole. Because of these truths, our family can have hope that someday we will meet our sweet baby in heaven. In my own moments of extreme weakness and grief, I can also be assured that my precious Ember will be welcomed into heaven with the warm, sweet embrace of Christ, no matter how long she's in my arms on earth. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I'm so grateful and thankful that our daughter's value is not wrapped up in the hours she spends on earth, but in that she is set apart for God. Our daughter is not incompatible with life. She is alive right now, in my belly, heart beating, arms and legs wiggling, and she is perfect, whole, and wholly loved by our Creator. Thank you.
Let me say, I don't think there's anything I can say today that's going to top what you just heard. And I appreciate the strength and the willingness for them to do that. But we are going to be going in our Bibles to the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 17. On this Sunday, it has been called Sanctity of Life Sunday. And we could talk about a lot of different things. I mean, we could discuss what has happened here in the United States as a result of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision way back in 1973. We could look at some of the discouraging statistics, one being that since 1973, approximately 65 million babies have been legally aborted. But I don't want to talk about any of that today. While we must realize that abortion is and always has been wrong in God's eyes, it is even more important to remember the sanctity of life. So what does the Bible say about the value of life? Is every life valuable to God? Today, I want to make this message personal to you. That's what this message is going to be about. From our text in Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching about how God values human life. And I want you to consider today how special, how sacred, and how valuable you are to God. And then when we get to the end of the sermon, consider that God not only feels this way about you, but about every single person on the face of the earth. Before we get started in Acts 17, let's ask God for his blessing, his wisdom, his understanding as we open his word for these few moments. Let's pray. Father, we've enjoyed a great service today. In the midst of the sadness that we have seen and heard, we also saw and heard strength and great faith in you. And it's because of what we want to talk about today. And it's how you feel about life. It's how you view every single soul that lives on this earth and has lived on this earth. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are our Creator. We thank you that you provide the gift of life. Oh, Lord, help us to realize today how valuable we are in your sight. And I pray, Father, that you will help us consider that there are a lot of people who don't have the same understanding about the sanctity of life. May we be living testimonies to how much we appreciate how you feel about us. Lord, use me in a way that would be pleasing to you, helpful and encouraging and challenging to those who are here and those who are listening or watching. And we're going to give you the praise today in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Let me give you just a quick background on what's happening. As we get to Acts chapter 17, Paul was in Athens, Greece. He was continuing his second missionary journey. Now, the Athenians were a religious people who believed in many gods and enjoyed discussing the various religious philosophies of the day. They had altars of several gods that lined the road leading into the city. Now, they didn't want to leave any gods out, so they erected an altar that had this inscription on it, to an unknown god. So Paul used this as an opportunity to share about the one true God. And I believe in this short message from Acts 17 that Paul gives to these philosophers in Athens, there are four truths that should encourage us to know how special we are to God. Here's the first truth. God is the creator of life. Here's what Paul says in verse 24 of Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands. Paul is saying God is the maker. He's not the one who has been made. Everything that exists comes from his hands. Now, those listening to Paul in that day had no God like that. They had no God who made the world and everything that is in it. Paul is lifting up his God and ours above all the other so-called gods that had been conceived in the mind of those Athens philosophers. Because God had made all things, this made him Lord, not just of the sea, as their god Neptune was, not just of the sky, as their god Jupiter was, but Lord of heaven and earth. Paul would write in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. God is speaking of his Son, who is the source and the power behind all of creation, especially his greatest creation, and that's you and me and every other human that has ever been conceived. The psalmist tells us, 127 verse 3, behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. God is the power behind conception. We are simply the human instruments through which God makes a baby. And you cannot, only through sexual relationships, create a soul. An immortal soul that will live forever. Listen to these confirming and affirming words from Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now notice we are created in God's image. And this godly image is not based on someone else's standard of individual worth. It's not based on someone else's thoughts about qualities of life. The psalmist would write in 119 verse 73, your hands made me and fashioned me. And that's what I want all of us to understand today. God's hands have made us and fashioned us. The Lord further expounds upon this in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. He tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that word knew in the Hebrew has a great meaning to it. It goes far deeper than intellectual knowledge. It means a personal commitment, an intimate experience with the person known. So you see, God not only knew about Jeremiah, he knew him. He had a plan for his life before he was ever conceived. And so if you read this verse in Jeremiah as though it was something extraordinary, as though it only applied to Jeremiah the prophet, then you have misread that passage. What the Lord said about Jeremiah is also true about you. God has never made another person just like you, and he never will. God never made anyone else who can fill the place you can fill and who can do the things that you can do. And it's important for us to understand that. And this is the wonder of the way God forms human life, that of the billions of people who have been born on this earth, there are no duplicates, not even twins. Each one is unique. Each one created by God for the time in which he or she is to live. And that is the word that came to Jeremiah to strengthen him. God said, Jeremiah, I have prepared you for this very hour, just as he has prepared you and me for this time, for this world, for this moment of human history. And that's a great gift that we've all been given. You see, not only are you created in God's image, you were knit together by God in the womb. God says each human life is woven by him, that he has knit us together in the womb, that every human has a frame. The Bible teaches us all these truths. So God is saying to you and to me, I started getting you ready and the world ready for you long before you were born. I worked through your father and your mother, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, your great-grandfathers, your great-grandmothers. For generations back, I have been preparing you, God says. And I know the argument of some. Well, what about the handicapped? What about those who may not make it in this world? God is also the creator of the handicapped. There's an interesting verse found in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, where God is speaking to Moses. And here's what he said to him. But the Lord said to him, Moses, who has made the human mouth? Or who makes anyone unable to speak or deaf or able to see or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God makes people the way we are. In John chapter 9, we read about a man who was born blind. And beginning in verse 2, the disciples asked Jesus, and this was the frame of mind that most people had, and some people still have today. Here's what they ask him. Rabbi, meaning teacher, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he would be born blind? That was the thought process. Something must be wrong with him or his parents if he's blind. Listen to Jesus' answer. It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him, meaning in that blind person. We were all born to give God glory, and that includes those who are handicapped. So no matter what you may think about yourself, God thinks you are very valuable. He made you just like you are, and he gave you a soul that will live forever. We are special. We are sanctified. We are set apart by God because, number one, Paul says, he's the creator of all life. Number two, Paul continues, God is the sustainer of all life. In verse 25, Acts 17, we read, nor is he, meaning God, served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. God does not need the assistance of humans to exist. All pagan religions emphasize what the worshiper must do for their God. Christianity emphasizes what God has done and continues to do for those who worship him. God provides all things necessary for the preservation of life. And the Bible teaches us that if God would remove his spirit and breath from the earth, all flesh would perish. That's what Job said, chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. Job was speaking and he said, if he, God, were determined to do so, if he were to gather his spirit and his breath to himself, humanity would perish together and mankind would return to dust. God is the one who gives. God is the one who pours out. He does not live in temples made by man. He is the one who made you. He is the one who made everything about you. And there is nothing that you can give to him that he needs. On the contrary, the God that we serve is the one who gives continually to us. And that's why the Apostle John wrote, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And how did he start giving? He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. Yes, God continues to give. We are special and sacred because God is the sustainer of life. And then third, Paul continued, God determines the times and boundaries for life. Look at verse 26 of Acts 17. And he, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Now, in the Old Testament, Solomon says something very similar to that. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die. All human life is sacred. The Hebrew word for time used in Ecclesiastes 3 means an appointed time or a proper time, signifying a fixed and set time or period in which things are to occur. As we were born, so we must die. At the time appointed. We just don't know when that is. But how do we apply all this today? Why is this important to even talk about? Why are we talking about the sanctity of life and the value of human life? Here's why. Because to kill a person because he or she doesn't meet a criteria of quality of life is to play God. And we can't do that. And that's why abortion, which is the murder of an unborn human being, infanticide, which is the murder of an infant, euthanasia, which is the murder of the ill and aged, or homicide, the murder of any person at any age, are all a revolt against God and an attempt to usurp the prerogatives and authorities and plan of our Creator. God loathes such bloodshed and rebellion as abortion or euthanasia. And he has made it clear that he will judge those who participate in or condone such murder. And I believe that's why the very first law God put into place after the flood in Genesis 9, verse 6, was the law of capital punishment. Whoever sheds man's blood by man shall his blood be shed. That's how valuable God thinks life is. There is a clear and distinct difference between allowing the death process to occur and speeding it up. So, for example, we must stand firmly against things like doctor-assisted suicide. That's like saying we know better than God what should or should not be. The argument that we have a right to decide when life is worth living opens a great big Pandora's box to wholesale euthanasia, for many may not be able to choose for themselves. The choice of whether to use extraordinary life support, which only serves to prolong the death process, can be a devastating decision for a family. Families must prayerfully ask, is it their time? And we must never withhold normal care and nutrition from anyone. That would be purposely hastening death. But to allow the death process to occur naturally need not be an ugly experience for the believer. And you know why this is true? Because of my favorite verse that I like to share at funerals. It's Psalm 116, verse 15. And here's that verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Now we get upset, we mourn, we grieve, understandably so. We're going to miss the person that passes away from us. God's perspective is, he's rejoicing in heaven because he's bringing one of his children home. Praise him for that. That's what keeps us going when someone dies. If they're a believer, they're going home. They're going to have it better than we have here, and we're going to get to see them again someday. Praise God for that. So we must trust in the wisdom of God in these matters and thank him. We are special and sacred because God determines the times and boundaries for life. And then finally, God desires for all human life to seek him. Notice how Paul ends this short little speech. Beginning in verse 27 of Acts 17, he said that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, being then the children of God. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. The reason why God did place people on earth was that all might seek after him. Our greatest good in life is to be found in seeking God. Verse 27 says, God is not far from each of us. God is concerned about each individual person in his world, and that includes you. We can be thankful today that we are living, that we are breathing, that we are a part of God's wonderful plan. So no matter what we feel like, no matter what we look like, God loves us and he has a plan for our lives. And we can celebrate that every day. Part of that plan included sending his son to die on that old rugged cross. We had no part in God's decision to love us as he does. But we do have a part in the rest of God's plan for our lives. Now, I must admit to you, I get frustrated sometimes by the quality of life ethic that equates a person's value based on what he or she can or cannot do. The reason I get frustrated with that, because it is degrading the divine nature that God has given to every single person. We live in a society that has lost its bearings over what is right and what is wrong, where political decisions are based more on power than they are on morality and God's holy word. An overview of Scripture clearly reveals that the taking of an innocent human life is condemned by God, and that our loving Creator detests the taking of human life simply because someone has said that they cannot have a quality of life. And so how do we respond today to what we see going on around us? One thing we should all be striving to do is to win the battle for the sanctity of life. As we start to bring this to a close, it's a time in our country to take a stand, because the issue concerning the sanctity of life is very clearly seen in the Bible, but that issue is not going to go away. May your prayer and mine be that our response to those that oppose the sanctity of life be God-centered, be Bible-based, and be love-guided. On this special occasion, Sanctity of Life Sunday, it's important for people to know that our worth as a person is not based on what we do or whether we meet certain criteria or qualities of life. Instead, our value exists because, as Paul taught, God is the creator of all life. He is the sustainer of all life. He determines the times and boundaries of life, and he desires for all of us to seek him.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.